Good morning. This is strictly by faith, and I'm just going to exercise myself. I know we need to have a liberty to get up and share if the Lord gives us something. And if I'm up here and I lose a liberty, I might take off running, run out the back door. I tell you, the Lord is good, and He is holy. And when I think of the holiness of God, a lot of times you look at the holiness of God and the reflection of God's Word, and you say, well, in what way do I come short, if you're honest? And I know some of the thoughts I had this morning, I was reading, and then it went towards what we're actually going to do today, which is take communion. And, you know, there's whether we're exercising different keys the Lord gives us to do or observing an ordinance, the reason why we need teaching in it is because it's in faith that we observe that. It's in faith that we would observe baptism. If you don't understand anything about baptism, you're not exercising a whole lot of faith when you go under the water, right? And so there's teaching that's available for that, and there's also teaching that's available for what we do when we observe communion. And, you know, as Paul exhorted the people in Corinthians, he said, that we shouldn't partake of the cup and the bread unworthily. Is that right? And I think any time any of us get ready to do anything that we're reminded of the holiness of the Lord, we take it serious, right? But the holiness of the Lord is serious because, we all one day will stand before God. And if that is a true thing that will happen, we must be made aware of His holiness, and we must be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. But then also we have to grow in that. And there's areas in our life where the Lord, I know, is still sanctifying us. I mean, there's a thing that's referred to in the Word, and it is in the Word too, is besetting sin. There are areas of sin in our life that we still encounter or battle because in some way we've yielded to that, and in some measure it still has control over us, right? That's what a besetting sin is. But the Lord did not die and suffer on a cross so that we could let our sin nature control us. There's a real, there's a common thing spoken to in a lot of churches that the Lord loves you so much that He accepts you where you are, and because He accepts you where you are, you don't have to change. But that's not repentance. Repentance is change. And praise God, when the Lord comes into our heart, He changes our heart. It's not like we go and we're going to try to do this or that or achieve that. We need Jesus Christ to achieve that. Righteousness comes through Jesus Christ alone. None of us wake up one day and say, I'm going to follow Jesus, therefore I'm going to change. That's not the way it works. His Holy Spirit works with our heart and our mind. He doesn't bypass our mind, but He works with our heart. He brings us to Himself, and then He does something that's supernatural. He brings us to the new birth. And when we receive the new birth and Christ is in us, we have something in us. We are a new creature. We have a new life. All things have become new. And when all things become new, well, praise God, we don't just have us to deal with. He's dealt with us. He dealt with sin on the cross, but He also has the power to present tense today deal with sin in our lives now. And that was one of the thoughts I had as a Christian. As a Christian, I know every one of us are the same in this regard this morning. We all have an evil nature that is opposed to the kingdom of God. Do we not? I mean, do you ever just one day say, gosh, I didn't know that was in there? Sometimes we encounter that in us. I don't care if it's anger, you know, just anything. And some things we do know is there, we encounter again. The answer and the antidote and the strength and solution is Jesus Christ abiding in here and us abiding in Him and bringing deliverance for us in areas that we are still struggling with. And so if you're still struggling, then you know you've got some issue with sin in your life, and we do something like this, which is observe communion, when we take of what is symbolic of his body and His blood. You don't want to just haphazardly do that, right? Because Jesus is worthy. Like we were doing this, when we were worshiping the Lord this morning, is He worthy? Yes, He is. And He is worthy of our life. Praise God. But I was reading something this morning. That's why I'm up here, is because when I read it, it struck me. And it struck me in how it's related to what we're doing. One, if you don't mind, just turn to Psalms 19. And I'm going to start in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. I tell you, the law does and was meant to bring us to Christ because we can't fulfill it in ourselves. But when you know that God is holy and he gave the law, and just like as wrote in Romans, is the law bad? No. It shows you how holy God is. It also shows us how unholy we are. But the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The Lord is so good. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Down to verse 11. By them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. When we obey the Lord's precepts, actually, the reason the Lord does not just made that or proclaimed that, when Christ indwells us and comes out in us, he fulfills the law in our life. And that's the only way it can be fulfilled. I'm going to keep going here. But this is where I was reading. It says, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. There is a blessing for following after God in obedience, but you have to look at it the right way. But then it says this, but who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. That's a prayer. Amen. Have you ever had to pray that? Amen. Lord, what about the prayer the Lord gave us? Lord, don't let me give in to temptation, but deliver me from evil. There is a real heart cry within us to please God because he's placed something in us that wants to please God. It's his spirit. Psalms 119. I guess one of the reasons this made resonated with me is as Christians, we do want to please the Lord. And yet, in the mirror of his word and his holiness, sometimes we struggle with who we are, and we pretend to judge ourselves in a way to where we don't give ourselves any hope. The Lord doesn't want that. He's began something in us that he is going to complete, and it is his righteousness. This isn't the Old Testament. It's another psalmist, but this is verse 1. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with their whole heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Now there's a statement, to be fully obeyed. Do you fully obey everything and the word of the Lord? None of us here have. Anyway, but here comes a prayer. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame. When I consider all your commands, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Anyway, I was reading that, and you see even in Psalms, and you see people struggling when they're praying or looking to God because they see in themselves the thing that does not align with the Lord's kingdom and his word and his promises, right? And so what we do is we end up being in a struggle with ourselves. But anyway, again, Romans 7. And I'm just going to go down toward the end of it here. I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work within me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of the sin at work within me. Does anybody here have any struggles? I mean, we do. I am so thankful that Jesus Christ, when he came here and experienced what we experienced, he did that because he himself wanted to be able to identify with us and know what it was like to be tempted. He did. He went through everything so he could identify with us when we are struggling and give us a measure of grace and power that we do not have in ourselves. Because we need him. At best, when we dig deep and there's still nothing there. But when Christ is there, that's enough. But that's what it takes to take the next step. Let me keep going here. He makes a statement here. What a wretched man I am. But then he asks a question. who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Oh, this is so good. Praise God. Thanks be to the Lord who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a deliverance that's taken place in Christ. And he wasn't saying that, okay, because he says in the previous chapter, you are no longer a slave to sin. God did not die for us and save us so that we could be stuck in the I can't overcome. No, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And that's one of the things that as I go along, I see that if I will take what's wrong with me to the Lord, no matter how long it's been there, and keep talking to him about it. He said man should always pray and never give up. When you encounter something in you that still discourages you, do not give up. Take it to the one who has the power to change you. And do not let the fact that you failed and failed again keep you from coming to the throne of grace. We come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help when we need it most. The chapters are divided up, and we all know that, but the very next chapter, this was such a blessing to me, and I'm going to read it in the NLT. This is Romans 8, verse 1. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Now he's getting back to the law. The law of Moses, even some of what the psalmist was talking about, it's great, it's awesome. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. It's not enough. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, and there it is, when we partake of the bread, we're partaking of his body. It says this, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us his son as a sacrifice for our sins. That's the end of it. The beginning of life is Christ, and the beginning of walking in holiness is walking in Christ. But when we partake of his body, we're partaking, it says that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes when we take communion. But it's what happened in that death. It wasn't just that he died. He rose again. He died, and his sacrifice was accepted. And when his sacrifice was accepted, our sin was paid for. He said, it is finished. But he was raised by the power of God when he was resurrected. That is the life he gives to us. And so it's, when we think about his body, it's the fact that what does his body represent? And I guess that's when you're talking about teaching or having communion. What is it we're partaking of? We need cleansing, do we not? Does the word not say that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? There is power in the blood. There is a cleansing that takes place through his blood that nothing else will do. There is nothing else that will cleanse you or I other than the blood of Jesus Christ. But this is also very true. We can't live as a Christian without the fact that he was resurrected and indwells us and gives us the power to do what we cannot do. And so when we take of the bread, it's just simply this. When we partake of his body, we're partaking of who he is and his power to change us. And so, it's a simple thing, but praise God. That's the gospel. Does he not give us the power to serve him? Is he able to cleanse us when we fail? Yes. But does he have for us? It says, I think it's in Peter. I'll just try to quote it here. It said, he himself bore in his body our sin on the tree that we might die to sin and live unto righteousness. If he wasn't resurrected and he didn't come to dwell in our hearts, if he didn't do what he did with his body, we wouldn't be where we are and we would have no hope. But he's a resurrected Christ. He was the firstborn from among, he was the first one to be raised spiritually like that. And that's the life-giving power that he's given us. And so when we partake of his body, we're partaking of him. And this is something we do throughout the week. It's not just here, but surely when we do it here, it's because we're recognizing the power of the living God. We're recognizing his body and what he did for us to empower us to do what we cannot do, to be cleansed and to walk in holiness. I just had those few thoughts this morning as I read. I thought about what we were doing, and I want to know the Lord better, you know, and I think even as we partake of this, this is an ordinance that God ordained, and he alone knows what all is done. When you walk, when you move in faith and observe an ordinance, God alone knows how deep that goes. That's his business. We just move and act in faith, right, and partake of what he told us to do. That's why he said, do this until I return. And so this is not just a form. It is not just something else to do. No, we need to remember who our Christ is. And I believe that we do. That's who we were worshiping this morning. I give him praise, and I thank him for what he's done for me, for you, for each one of us. Not only to do all that, and then to do something, tell us to do something as an ordinance to remind us, this is how much I love you. Continue to partake of me. You need me. He's the gospel. His gospel. I mean, there's, of all the things that we can see and experience in this life, there is nothing that compares to Jesus Christ. And all men, it says one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. It's coming. But we have the privilege now to partake of this living Christ and the living gospel. And I give him praise, and I want to keep drawing close to him, because that's who we need. Amen. And that's our purpose for living. Amen? That's all I have.
Well, I confess it's very tempting to just say what Steve said and then sit down. I appreciate it. And it is in harmony with thoughts that I have had. Some of the thoughts are a little bit uncomfortable, but I think that we need all the truth, don't we? If we're going to really be what God has declared us to be, we've talked recently about our identity, who we are, and how that plays out in our relationships with one another. And there's another area that is very closely related to what's been said this morning, that God seeks. You know, it's interesting that the word holiness was mentioned. We know God is completely pure and separate from sin, right? Well, one of the interesting things is that when Paul particularly wrote his letters to the churches, he typically addressed them to God's holy people. Now, the King James says saints, but that's what it means. God's holy people in Ephesus, God's holy people in Philippi, and, you know, in Colossae and various places where he wrote. And if you look at us objectively, you could say, well, we've got a long ways to go. Compared to God, we're not very holy. But yet, that's how God sees us in terms of his plan and his purpose and his provision for us. It's enough. But yet, there's a process that we are part of, and Steve mentioned that. One scripture that I thought about was in 2 Corinthians, begins in chapter 6. And Paul, as we know, had a lot of things to deal with in the Corinthian church. They'd been called, many of them, out of heathen darkness, didn't have a clue what it meant to live for the Lord, had all kinds of ideas and habits baked into their thinking. Of course, we wouldn't be anything like that, would we? But there they were, called out of their particular background, and so they were in the process of learning about God and what it means to live for him, what it means to be his holy people. Does God want to just, you know, give us a certificate that says you're clean and leave us like we are? No, there are changes that he seeks to make. And like Steve said, we go along and we discover things that aren't we're not happy about. We shouldn't be happy about. But we realize there are needs. So anyway, this particular passage, Paul is dealing with their relationships with others. I'm less concerned with the particulars, but the fact that Paul had to point out, you are in fellowship with people who don't serve God. They're part of the world, whether they're religious or not. It's not right to take people who are part of the temple of God, a place where God lives, and have them be in fellowship. That's a spiritual connection. That's a heart connection with somebody that's not serving God. And God help us in our relationships. We don't have to be holier than thou, but God wants us to have a sense of who we really connect with and who we feel at home with and in harmony with and hang out with and all of those things. Okay, so he's warning them about that. And then he says, the principle of the temple of God says, I will live, this is verse 16, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. What a promise. Praise God. Therefore, because of what he just said, therefore, come out from them and be separate. So it declares what God is going to do, and then it turns around and says, here's what you need to be doing because of what he's promised. Okay? There's always that balance between the promise and the provision of God and the responsibility that he gives us to walk in that. We're not simply mindless, you know, creatures. He's building puppets or something. We're sons and daughters who need to grow up to be like him. So anyway, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. That's a sober statement, isn't it? And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, once again, you've got this conclusion. Based on what I have just said, there are things we need to take to heart. Therefore, since we have these promises, thank God for the promises. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, I guess the central thought I had there was perfecting holiness. It's one thing for God to declare us holy, but now we're in the process of being actually made holy. God's not going to take sinners to heaven and saying, here's your certificate, you get to live here anyway. There is a transformation that God is doing that will make us fit to live in that place that is just as pure and holy as Isaiah saw when he suddenly felt so terribly out of place. We're going to actually be at home there, not because of any virtue in us, but because of what he has done. But God wants us to live here and now in harmony with that, and that is a process. This perfecting holiness is one of those Greek present tenses, meaning it's an ongoing thing. This is something where we get up in the morning and there are areas where I have needs. I'm not really all that he means for me to be, but I have a part to play. Am I going to be willing to cooperate with him, to seek him, to listen to him when he talks to me and become what he wants? And I had this thought, and this is where it can get a little uncomfortable, or at where I'm going with this. We tend to think of sin. Now, sin is what we are being rescued from. We tend to think of sin as wrong deeds. I do something, it's not according to God's plan or in his nature, and therefore it is sin. And I need to be forgiven because I did that. But sin is so much more than just what I do. It is a power that resides in the life I got from Adam. It will always, if I cooperate with that life form, I will always do the wrong thing. And it will always come out in some fashion. Now, religion, one of the ways religion deals with this problem and tries to make itself feel okay is the way the Pharisees did. And we know what they did was to take the stuff that they had gotten from that God had given them through Moses, and they built a religion out of it. Now they made it very convenient. They found ways around some of the real what God was really getting at, so they could be comfortable. But the main deal was, I want to know that the stuff that I need to do, and if I do that, I'm righteous, I'm favored of God, I have every right to look down on those bad sinners over there. There's a spirit of Pharisaical self-righteousness. And Jesus pointed out on one occasion, you know, they got on to him because he didn't wash his hands. And it wasn't, there's good reasons for washing your hands, but they were doing it to be righteous. What's the matter with you? You're not going by our traditions. And Jesus pointed out, said, boy, Isaiah got it right. He said, Your religion consists of rules made by men, but your heart's far from me. I didn't quote all of that, but you got the thought. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Okay? And Jesus made the point that that's not what it's about. That it's not what goes in. It's not these rules and all these external things. There's something in here. This is where the problem is. The problem is what comes out of the heart. And he lists a whole lot of things that go beyond just deeds. There's motivations. There's all kinds of things in here that we don't want to recognize and admit sometimes. And here's one of the thoughts that really, it makes me uncomfortable, but yet I know it's true. One of the things that Jesus pointed out in his Sermon on the Mount, he said this, "You have heard it said, do not commit adultery." Now, committing adultery in the way as we think of it would be an act. Okay, you'd be doing something. But what did Jesus say? If you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. And what this highlights is how God sees holiness. Does God simply look at the stuff we do and the stuff we don't do? Or is he looking at the heart and what's really going on in here? And the thing that's uncomfortable is how easy it is for us to play out things, allow thoughts to come into our minds that somehow appeal to some part of our old nature, if we're going to be honest. And we're just playing a little bit of it. It's like a scene out of a movie that we're part of. No, am I the only one that's ever experienced this? Yeah. And you're thinking, you're imagining something. Your imagination is imagining something that's as if it were happening. And the devil says, oh, it's okay, you're not doing anything. How many of you have ever run up against that one? And the Lord has had to say, wait a minute, yes, you did. As far as I'm concerned, whatever you allowed in your mind, whatever scenario you played out in your mind, you did. We got room to grow, folks. We need the Lord. Praise God. You know, God said when the prophet was sent to anoint David, and the prophet looked at one of the brothers and how impressive he was, God said, don't look at the outside. That's how people look at it. God sees the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. I'm so thankful that you see that in David. I mean, one of the scriptures, the passage in Psalm 19 was one of the ones that I had on my heart this morning about the heart of David, who was concerned not just about the acts on the outside, but he wanted to have a heart that pleased God. And there are so many lies that are abroad in the world today, and I don't want to try to catalog them, but you know how the devil is always going to be going around, and he's going to be looking for a way in, going to be looking for a way to get a hold and an influence upon our hearts and upon our lives. How does he do that? What is it that gives him any kind of opening at all? Well, pride, yeah, but I mean specifically the old nature. He is appealing to something in our old nature that is an agreement with him that he can pull on and get us to yield somehow, to allow him in. And how easy is it to sort of secretly allow him in just a little bit and then think, oh, it's okay, I didn't do anything. How many of you would like for the Lord to play back all of the scenarios you've allowed, these little scenes, these little movie scenes that you've allowed to play out in your mind and put them on a screen for everybody to see? I sure wouldn't. Oh, my God. We need help, don't we? We need the Lord. But I'm so glad that we have him, But the lies, I mean, Satan would tell you, well, you didn't do anything, so that's okay. One of the big lies that you see everywhere in the world today is you were born that way. And we see it used in this so-called sexual whatever it is, all the sexual deviancy that's out there. The truth is every one of us was born that way in one way or another. And that is no excuse for us to say, oh, I am, that's how I am, and so it's okay. I won't actually give myself to that, but I will just kind of treat it like a pet. God help us. God help us not to think that we can kind of control these things that want to rise up in us and say, well, I got it on a leash. Don't worry. It ain't going to take over. You think that's what the Lord is after? He uses the word to perfect holiness, perfecting holiness. That means to complete. That means inside and out. God wants a pure and a holy people. And the only way we're going to do that is exactly what Steve was talking about. We need the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I hope the Lord's in this, but I just had these thoughts, and maybe what Steve had is the thing we really need the most. I don't know, but I know that God wants to purify and purge and help his people to be overcomers in every area. If we're going to be the holy people of God, that means he's going to have to touch these areas that other people don't even know about. We have ways where we think, oh, it's private. I know I shouldn't be thinking about this, but, you know, it's just the way I am. I'm tired. You find times when it's easy to give in to the wrong thoughts and just sort of let them play out, and we don't stop them. We don't cut them off. Kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? Because we all find ourselves in that place. But I believe with all my heart, we need to call out to God and say, oh God, shine your light deep into my heart and help me to recognize everything that the enemy, every lie the enemy tells, so that I can overcome and be whom you want me to be. There are a whole lot of people that come in and try to serve God, and their concept of serving God is keeping a lid on their sin. It's still there, but they're going to learn to say, no, I'm not going to act on it, and therefore it's okay. I don't want to keep my sin in a box and try to keep the lid on it. He didn't come to do that. He came to deliver me, heart, mind, and soul, from all of it. And I'll tell you, if there's someone listening and there's a stronghold in your life because of some inborn desire, God has the power to set you free if you'll give him that part of your life. He longs to set you free. That's a lie of Satan. That the Christian life is just a matter of struggling and saying no to things that we'd rather be doing. I'll tell you, the devil has all kinds of tricks. And like we've said many times, one of them is just, well, that's just the way I am. You're going to have to put up with it. I'm saved by grace. He accepts me anyway. He loves me anyway. And so I'll do my best not to go too far with it. I'll tell you, sin is not a pet you can keep on a leash. It will take control. Sooner or later, it's going to come out one way or another. Don't think you can keep it on a leash. He didn't save us to try to put up with sin in that sense. God help us. God help me. I'm preaching things that I've been very conscious of my own need. It's uncomfortable to say, to think that how many things that I'll get in a place where I'm tired and I let my mind go. You know, Peter had some very plain words, didn't he, about being sober, watchful. Why? The devil is going around, and what is he like? A roaring lion. What's he after? Someone to devour. There is some eating going on as far as the devil's concerned. I'll tell you, if we're giving in to something, even in a small degree, in an area where no one else knows about it, this is just going on in my mind. I'm not actually doing anything. I'm a sweet, lovely Christian. But there's stuff going on here that shouldn't be. There are devils that are feeding their evil nature because they're getting us to cooperate with them. You see why Paul said we're to perfect holiness, we're to be working at it. What we need to be doing is reaching out and saying, God, shine your light on whatever my need is. And then when you do, help me to bring it to you because I realize that, you know, it's like Paul says, speaking the truth in love. Oh, I'll tell you, when God speaks the truth to us, that's what's behind it. It's never with condemnation and what's the matter with you? Come on, try harder. It's always with that, I need you to see your need here. I need you to see why Jesus died. And I need you to be honest about it and bring it to me because I have the answer. I'm the one who's able to make the changes down in here where you have the power to say no and the will to say no. Doesn't the Word say He works in us to will and to do? You know, my mind has often gone to that missionary lady that I mentioned in the past in China about 100 years ago, and she was overheard to be praying, and she was wrestling. This was a missionary lady that God had mightily used, and here she is at that stage of her life, and there's some aspect of her nature that she's wrestling with, and it's a real battle. And it was evident from what she said that it was a battle partly of her will. It wasn't just that I can't do this. It's like, I'm not sure I really want to. Now, nobody here would admit that we get into issues like that. But she was. And there she was. And she was heard to be praying, oh, Lord, don't give in to me. That's quite a prayer, isn't it? I've had to find myself praying. When there are times when I've had the Lord shine the light and I wasn't entirely happy about it. And I got quiet. But I also found the Lord giving me grace to say, Lord, don't you dare quit. Don't quit. I know He won't, but I want to agree with that. I want to say, Lord, You're the one who knows the needs, and sometimes there are problems with my will having to be brought under control here. Don't stop, even when I'm fussing, even when there's that part of me that's not entirely thrilled. I need You to shine Your light because that's so much more important than anything I could ever think or want in this world. Oh, praise God. We have no idea the depth of what of our need. And I appreciate what the Lord brought through Steve. God doesn't want us ever, when He shines a light, to be discouraged or defeated by what we are. There's no need in us that has not already been met at the cross. What we need is to enter into the willing experience of what He has done. And, you know, we're talking about fellowship, about being in fellowship with unbelievers. This is the fellowship of God's holy people. It's a people that have set their heart to serve the Lord, to put their whole trust in what Jesus said and what He did, and to find that we can come to a place of forgiveness and cleansing that makes us as pure as if we had never sinned. Thank God. If the Lord is shining a light right now, if there's some area of your life where you realize, hey, I've been allowing my mind to run in areas that it shouldn't, we need to say, yes, Lord, truth, Lord. And I bring that to You, Lord. Think of what David said at the end of the passage that Brother Steve was reading. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. You get that? So it's what I say, that's certainly important. But the meditations of my heart, let them be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord. My strength and my Redeemer. Thank God He put that in there. I can't do it without You. But, oh God, that's my heart's desire. And of course, Psalm 139, how many times have we gone through that where He talks about the greatness of God, who knows all of my thoughts, knows everything about me. I can't go any place where He isn't. And yet He comes to the end, and it's not a scary thing that just He feels repressed. He feels that His heart is reaching out and said, oh God, search me. Search my heart. Look everywhere. I don't want to hold back anything, Lord. Shine Your light in here. Because I know when You do it, Your motivation is love. It's to help me. Oh, God. Boy, that's one of the things the devil will try to tell some people. Oh, serving Him. And you can't do this. You can't do that. It's just a bunch of rules that God imposes because He's bigger than you are. Oh, my God. The motivation is one of pure love. Pure love. I'll tell you, we need to recognize that the desires, that the natural desires that are not in harmony with God and are in harmony with the world, I don't care how natural they are to you, God can deliver and wants to deliver. I remember talking to a young woman some years ago who was struggling because she had this strong attraction to some guy. Said, but what if I love him? Well, I mean, you know, every one of us could say that about something. That's not the point. God gave us the power to say no to things that are outside of His will. Coming to Christ is not just some easy thing. There is always going to be opposition. God calls His people to fight the good fight of the faith. That means there's going to be opposition. That means your nature is going to fight it. And that means Satan is going to try all kinds of sneaky ways to come in with logic and make it seem okay. Okay, well, you're just that way. Don't worry, it's all taken care of. Oh, God, help us. Why would Paul write something like this? Purify yourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Oh, what drudgery that sounds like. What misery we get. God just hates everything we enjoy. Then we're going to pout. I'll tell you, this world knows nothing about joy. Do you think God is against pleasure? He created the things that we enjoy. What happened is sin has come in and they have been twisted in their purpose. They serve self and they become destructive forces in our lives. But God gave us those things. And I'll tell you, what did David say? In your right hand, there's life forevermore. I'm trying to remember the exact quote. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There's going to be nothing but joy and pleasure and the highest happiness we could ever enjoy is there. And God wants to begin to taste it right here by agreeing with Him. Praise God. So I'll tell you, God is building a fellowship of His holy people. And one of the things that Steve talked about, and he's right, when you come to a place like this where we're observing this, Paul said to look to yourselves. I'm trying to remember the quote. This is not one I looked up. But anyway, when you're coming to something like this, there needs to be a self-examination. All right? So we don't partake unworthily. If I am nursing something and I'm hanging on to it and I haven't really repented, I'm not in fellowship with what's going on. But God, because of Christ, has given us the place where we have every right to come to that throne of grace and to find help and to find forgiveness and to find cleansing. And all He seeks for every willing heart is to come to Him and say, Lord, just like David did, he repented of that terrible sin that he committed. And boy, that wasn't just something that happened in his mind. It began there, but it played out in awful ways in his life. But he found a cleansing and a forgiveness. Oh God, in sin I was conceived, but cleanse me in the inside. God, I want to be clean from top to bottom, inside and out. And God can make us clean and give us an expression of the fellowship that is based upon what He has done. It's not a matter of just being, oh, well, I'm part of the Bible tabernacle. This is being joined to Christ. It's being joined to one another. And it's being on the road to saying no to sin and becoming more and more His holy people in actual practice. Don't be afraid when the light shines. In fact, like David, oh God, shine the light. Lord, I want to see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting, he says in one place. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. You could say a whole lot of other things, but maybe what we need to do is just to go ahead and look to the Lord. But I pray that there's someone here today and Satan has got a hold in your life through imagination, through things that just happen in your mind. I pray that God will give you and me grace to be honest and to cry out to Him and to say, Lord, like David did, Lord, teach me your ways. Sometimes we didn't get there. Many times we didn't get there overnight. There are holes that have been formed over time. We need the Lord to show us how to unravel them. Sometimes it's a matter of saying, of just, well, always, it's, Lord, you possess that part of my mind and my life. And devil, if there's any devil, you get out of here because of the blood of Jesus, because of what he did. I repent. But God can help us in a practical sense to overcome and to see strongholds broken in our lives. Do you believe he wants to do that? I do. And I just pray that God will do whatever it takes in my life and that he will never quit. No matter how much I fuss. Now, nobody here would ever do that, right? Nobody would ever have that sensation, that emotion rise up. I need to have a thankful heart in everything and say, oh, God, do whatever it takes in me so that I can stand there in that day and look back and say, not only did you save me, but, Lord, I was somebody you could actually... that could actually be a blessing to somebody else. I wonder how much more the Lord could and would do in our hearts and our lives if we did more of what Paul said. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Anybody here need that? Yeah, of course we all do. That's just part of the game. That's part of the whole thing. But may God help us to look to the Lord with a repentant, willing heart and saying, oh God, do whatever it takes. I know sometimes my will struggles, my ability certainly struggles, but I am looking to you for all of it. And I know that you never show me my sin out of anger, but always out of love and always ready to step in and help me and strengthen me and give me what I need to overcome and to move ahead. So to God be the glory. Praise God. I think that's probably enough, and let's just move ahead.